Blog Talk Radio.
This is Talking Brick with Mayor John Ducey.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. The phones are open if anyone wants to call in and ask any questions or share any thoughts. The call-in number is 347-426-3543. And as always, I'd like to make a few announcements to start the show off. My next Mayor's In Night will be Monday, this coming Monday, May 11th, from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock at the Civic Plaza on Chambers Bridge Road. It's also an open house to discuss FEMA's preliminary flood insurance rate maps and the whole appeal process. If you have any interest in trying to appeal what your flood designation is. Also, our Brick Farmers Market, it's going on every single Saturday with the exception of July 4th. It's over at Windward Beach. It's from 9 o'clock in the morning till 12 noon. And it's been very, very successful. We started it. We had our original kickoff on April 25th. And we had 11 vendors and about 1,300 people show up. And then actually, because of the turnout that we actually had some vendors. One vendor in particular ran out of pierogies at 9:26 a.m. when the thing opened at 9 o'clock. He obviously brought a lot more merchandise with him the second week, and word spread throughout the vendor community or the farmer community, and we actually had 22 vendors at the second event. So we doubled our vendors, and they had a lot more product with them as well. And we did have we have three farmers at this point, and as of June 1st, we're going to be up to 7 farmers. And the reason why that is because there's really not a lot of fresh vegetables and fruits at this time. The first week we really saw some flowers, asparagus, and apples. And then the second week, we, in addition to those things, there was peppers and mushrooms and spinach and kale. So they are, and a lot more flowers. So there's actually, you know, more and more fresh products coming in. And as of the first one we have in June, we're going to be up to 7 farmers with all their different vegetables and fruits. So it's definitely a successful program, and I'm glad everybody's enjoying it. And please come out if you haven't gone out there yet. Monday, May 25th, 10 a.m. is our Memorial Day Parade. Please come out and support all the veterans that are out there. We have a bunch of veterans groups that are out there marching. And obviously Memorial Day is all about those who have given their lives, unfortunately, in wars for our freedom. So please come out and support all the veterans, all the current military, and to remember everybody who gave up their life for our freedom. Monday, May 25th, 10 a.m., it starts off at the Foodtown Plaza, goes down Route 70, makes a right onto Chambers Bridge, and ends over at Town Hall, where there's a great ceremony at the end of the parade. Relay for Life is also coming up. That's May 29th into May 30th. It's at Brick Township High School, and it's to raise money for the American Cancer Society. And we're putting a team together called the Mayor's Miracle Marchers. Anybody who would like to join our team, we would love to have you. Call my office at 732-262-1240 for information. Again, it's for the American Cancer Society. And cancer is a disease that impacts everyone. Everybody out there knows somebody who is suffering with cancer, has fought it, or sadly has died from it. Come out and join the fight to get rid of cancer. My guest tonight is Councilwoman Andrea Zapsik. Councilwoman Zapsik is the chair of the council's recreation committee, and we're going to discuss our recreation program as well as the parks facilities we have around town. So, Councilwoman Zapsik, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you, Mayor. I joined the council last January in the seat that you vacated when you became mayor. I worked for the town for almost 11 years, from 1998 to 2009. I started off as the Municipal Alliance Coordinator. Most people know that department as BMAC, and then moved into recreation in 2004, where I served until May of 2009. I'm currently the Director of Parks and Recreation and Senior Services for the City of Broadway.
Okay. Now, as a councilwoman, you're the chairwoman of the Recreation Committee, correct?
That is correct.
And that also looks at the parks in town.
That's correct.
And hopefully everybody out there knows it, but you may be telling them for the first time, but we're doing 3 new parks this year. And why don't you tell us about those?
Yes, we are. It's very exciting. A few meetings ago, the council awarded a contract for the construction of Colorado Park, so that will be the first one to begin. My understanding is the pre-construction meeting has been held with the contractor, and we're looking to break ground in a few short weeks. That park will include a playground for ages 2 to 5, a playground for ages 6 to 12, new basketball courts, a baseball field with a clay infield and a backstop, off-road parking, and a perimeter walking trail. Colorado Park is probably our largest neighborhood park after the Drum Point Sports Complex. It comes in at just under 32 acres, so it's a pretty big job. My understanding is that will also include irrigation, so those the grass and the fields there, there's a lot of open space that should be very, very lush and well-maintained. The second project on the horizon is Angela Hibbert Park. We passed a resolution to authorize the bid process back in March. We just received clearance from Green Acres to go out to bid for that, so we should be going out to bid in a few weeks. Between the bidding process, the award of contract, we're probably looking at shovels in the ground maybe early to mid-July or so. Mm-hmm. And that project will, that park will have a basketball court, two tennis courts that are also pickleball courts, a playground for ages 2 to 5, a playground for ages 6 to 12, and a dog park with separate areas for large dogs and smaller dogs. The final park project for the year is Lake Riviera Park. We are putting the finishing touches on the plans for that park, and we hope to be out to bid sometime in the summer, breaking ground hopefully in the early fall. That park will include basketball courts, a playground for ages 2 to 5, a playground for ages 6 to 12, and a new gazebo. Additionally, we will be resurfacing the parking lot as the beach will be renovated and a new walkway built to the dock. And as I said, hopefully we will get that project underway sometime in the early fall and finish before we lose the weather at the end of the year.
So the plans are really to start and finish all three of these parks in 2015.
Absolutely. And this will actually put us back on track with our recreation master plan. Back in 2007, we had applied to Green Acres for funding for a number of parks that included Angela Hibbert, Lake Riviera, two parks that were done, Freedy and Arrowhead, and the turf field at Drum Point Sports Complex. So some of those projects got done, but then sometime after May of 2009, we sort of veered off the master plan and did parks at three of our schools, Drum Point, Emma Havens, and Midstreams, which are all beautiful facilities. And then the focus became Traders Cove Marina. So the people in the neighborhoods at Colorado, in the vicinity of Colorado Park and Lake Riviera and Angela Hibbert have been waiting for a very, very long time. So we're very excited to be able to finally get these parks renovated for them.
Yes, definitely, because I know from being on council before I was mayor, people thought that their park was next. Lake Riviera or Angela Hibbert, and just all the money was going into Traders Cove, so there was no money to do any other parks, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
So we're finally changing that in 2015.
Absolutely. And then my understanding is that we're going to begin the engineering work for Birchwood Park, Hank Waltnowski, which is in the Birchwood Park area. That will be a 2016 project, and we'll be also looking at Bernie Cook and Bayside Park as well.
Okay, and it's a call-in show, so the call-in number again is 347-426-3543. You can also post some questions to Facebook on our township Facebook page, and I think we do have one of those questions.
Yes, we do, from Sean Philbin. He wants to know, Mayor, what are your thoughts on the Godfrey Lake problem? He personally thinks the township should take over the property and help clean it up and make it so the citizens can swim again.
Well, I'm not a big fan of townships owning property. We have a big piece of land in the middle of town, and everybody calls it the Food Town site that was purchased long before I was mayor, long before I was on council. And we know it's just sit there empty because it just there's nothing being done with it. The township shouldn't be in the ownership of land. So with regards to Godfrey Lake, it's privately owned. It's owned by an association that's not really maintaining it. I understand they're not paying taxes on it, but it's not owned by the town. But what we are doing is we're cleaning up the area around it. There's some trees that were down. And also we do this application to make sure vegetation doesn't happen in the lake. And that's going to be applied sometime in May. It may have already been applied, but I think it's more towards the end of May that was going to be applied. And so, you know, we want it to look nice, but we're not in any position to purchase the lake or buy the lake or take the lake over. I understand there's a lot of different issues with the, there's some type of dam that's there. There's some type of bridge that people talk about that may be collapsing. And, you know, I don't want to have, the taxpayers of Breck being burdened by something that they don't own. We also did that a long time ago, but with the French's landfill. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought, oh, that'd be a great thing for the town to buy the landfill so that everybody knows what type of materials were being dumped in that landfill. And but what they didn't think of, I guess it was way back in the 70s or maybe the 80s, they didn't think about everything that was dumped everywhere already. So then what did we get stuck with as taxpayers here in Brick? We had to pay for to cap this landfill, for monitoring the landfill for 20 years before we capped it, and millions and millions and millions of dollars because, you know, they thought they were doing the right thing. Back then, I'm sure, they didn't do it for any other reasons, but they bought a landfill that they didn't own, they didn't have to own. They could have just kept it in private where it was, but the town bought it and got stuck with a huge problem, and I'm not interested in adding any huge problems to our land. So we're going to do what we can, which is do the application and try to keep the area clean of some falling trees and things like that, but definitely not interested in owning it. So, but thank you for the question. And again, on Facebook, please post any questions or call in. It's even better. It's great to have interaction. Any question? And Councilwoman Zapsik's here, a special guest. She can tell you everything about parks and recreation in town. She has a long history of, she knows everything that's happened for probably the last 15, 20 years. I'm not sure. When did you start in Brick?
August of 1998.
Okay. Yeah, so we, you have about 15 years in.
Yep.
Of having the knowledge about the parks and recreation programs. So that's great. And, any questions you would have, please call in for it. It's 347-426-3543. And I guess we'll go back to talking about the parks. Now, you mentioned Birchwood Park. Did you mention all three parks for the 2016 program?
Yes.
Okay.
Birchwood Park will be start to finish. We're looking to in 2016. Plus, we'll be doing the engineering for Bernie Cook and Bayside Park.
Now, I know there's a lot of confusion because last night I had spoken about the three parks, which were actually the Bernie Cook, the Hank Wolnowski Birchwood, and the Bayside Park. And I think people were confused that we were skipping the original three parks of Colorado, Angela Hibbert, and Lake Riviera. And as you know, we're not. Can you talk about that and how funding gets lined up in advance?
Exactly. We introduced the temporary capital budget last night and budget and the ordinances to fund the capital budget. Those will we're passing those in 2015 that will actually fund part of 2015 and into 2016. So the funding portion is always either in advance of, and then continuing into the following year.
Okay. And with the two parks, the Bernie Cook and the Bayside Park, we're just doing the design, and then that construction will probably actually be taking place more likely in 17, right? Is that?
Yes. My understanding is that Bernie Cook backs up to where the new parkway exit is being constructed. So we can do the engineering, but we kind of really have to hold off until that project is a little further along to see how it might impact the park, how we place the equipment, the amenities of the different parks. Bayside Park, of course, is on the bay where their Route 35 reconstruction is taking place. Right now, that is being used as a contractor staging area for that construction. So again, until that project is complete and the contractors are out of there, we can do the engineering, look at the amenities, how we want to place things, but the actual construction is really going to be contingent on the other things, the other jobs finishing up and clearing out of the way.
And then where are we as far as that? You know, I know you mentioned earlier the master plan. Like what parks would be out there for 18 and beyond?
That's kind of a good question. We would probably start to look at the parks that were the newest. Off the top of my head, probably the next one up might be a Tiller Field, which is the playground, the play area that's part of the Brick Little League complex.
How long ago was that done? Do you remember?
Well, it was before 1998.
Okay.
So a lot of our parks were done in the 80s. And this kind of goes back to your comment about Godfrey Lake. There were a lot of parks that were required of developers when they put a development in. And they were sort of in no man's land. And because nobody was maintaining them, the town took them over, and then they became township parks. So there was a big push in the, from what I understand, in the mid-80s to redo a lot of these parks. So now here we are 30 years later. The equipment is no longer compliant. The structures are aging. There's been a lot of changes to the accessibility laws in terms of playground equipment and a lot of changes to the playground safety rules. For example, Freedy Park, which was done back in 2008, is in the neighborhood where I live and where my children played when they were little. That was built on sand because that was the most compliant safety surface, what's called impact attenuation. When a child falls from a structure, what's going to mitigate the fall? It's called impact attenuation, and that was the most compliant surface in those days. And then from there, we moved to engineered wood fiber or mulch and the shredded rubber tires. And now the most compliant, best case scenario for impact attenuation with playground equipment falls is the poured in place surface that we're putting in on all of our parks.
Yeah, that surface is great. I wish that was everywhere. So that would be so much easier on my knees for running if every sidewalk was made out of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a dinosaur. When I was a kid, they built playgrounds on asphalt. So we've come a long way.
All right. And obviously, recreation is much more than parks. We offer things for people of all ages. And so I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about some of our recreation programs.
Absolutely.
And I know there's no way you're going to be able to cover them all because we have so many.
I'd be delighted to. I really believe that, and I hope none of my employers are listening, because I really think BRIC has the best recreation department in the state of New Jersey. So, but I'm supposed to say that about Robert, but I really do think that there's so much that we do. We do things for people of all ages, from zero right on up to 80. But I do want to talk about, since the warm weather is upon us, I do want to talk about some of the outdoor things that are going on. Your recreation department is in the process of registering for their outdoor summer basketball league. That's Brick Boys and Girls in grades 2 through 8. There are clinics, and then there's also games. Outdoor basketball clinic, and then there is a league that for boys and girls in grades 5 through 8 and 9 through 12, and those are actually games that are played outdoors, and those are played at Arrowhead Park, which is one of the parks that I mentioned was renovated in 2009, and it's absolutely magnificent. It's a great outdoor facility. So if you have a child that falls in those age ranges and you haven't signed him or her up, please take advantage of that. It's a great way to spend your summer evenings a couple nights a week watching the kids play outdoors, outdoor basketball. Also this year, the rec department has started, it's a brand new program this year, it's adult beach volleyball. And it will take place on Wednesday evenings at Windward Beach from 5:30 to 7:30. They're looking for team registration, so you need a four-person team. And they say at least one female member per team. I'm not sure, but I guess that's to qualify as co-ed, so nobody stacks the team. And it's a 10-game season plus playoffs, and that runs from June 10th to August 26th, Wednesday nights at Windward Beach. It's $20 per team. $80 per team. So it works out to $20 per person. I mean, how can you go wrong for a whole season for 20 bucks? Their rec department is also open registration this week for their early childhood programs. this is something that they do really, really well. I was always very, very proud of it. They have a Mommy and Me program, a First Time on My Own program, a Bright Start program for children 3 to 5, a Jump Start program for children that are age four going to kindergarten the following year to get them ready. These programs always fill up. They're very much in demand. So as I said, the registration opened on Monday. So if you're interested in registering your child, those programs will start in the fall. But don't wait until the fall because they'll be closed out. So if you're interested in registering your child for one of those programs, I'd urge you to take advantage of that. We also have our Movies in the Park, which is very popular. We have movies that go around to the inflatable screens and show movies in the different parks. So on July 7th, we'll be showing The Karate Kid at Trader's Cove. July 21st, Garfield the Movie at Arrowhead Park. August 11th, Babe at Freedy Drive Park. And August 25th, Field of Dreams at Trader's Cove. And then we also have movies as part of our Summerfest series, but I'll either talk about that later or you can, Mayor. But I just wanted to mention the Cultural Arts Series. There's actually a concert going on tonight at Civic Plaza. I'm very sorry that I can't be there. It's one of my favorite performing duos. But I wanted to talk about our outdoor concerts that will take place this summer. On Wednesday, June 10th, we have Fred Lahate and the Ragtimers at the Civic Plaza. Actually, that's indoors. That's going to be the Civic Plaza. On August 12th at Trader's Cove, we have Bobby Byrne. On August 26th at Trader's Cove, we have Sounds of the Street. Both Bobby Byrne and Sounds of the Street are very, very popular musical groups. And then we go back inside for September, The Sentimental Journey Big Band at Civic Plaza. And then October 3rd, this will be outside. This is part of our Bricktoberfest celebration. We have Who's Johnny. So those are all free. The indoor ones, you do need to make a reservation. If you call 267-322-1006, you can reserve a seat. The outdoor ones, it's open. There are no reservations necessary. Just need to bring your own lawn chairs. And that's about all that I wanted to highlight. The beach badges are on sale. Our beaches will be opening very shortly. And did you want to talk about Summerfest, or do you want to mention
A quick thing. Are you familiar with the Recreation Community Youth Service Program that we're starting this year?
No, I'm not.
Okay. That's a new program being offered that's going to give young people the chance to give back by volunteering for our recreation program. The volunteers, whoever the young people are who want to volunteer, they assist at programs and events throughout the year. And for students and people looking for community service hours, it's a fun way to do that. So if you're looking for community service hours for the National Honor Society or for some other type of program that you're involved in, it's a great way to do it.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
And I'm sure you could attest that even if they're volunteering, they would still have fun at a lot of these events, or almost all these events, or all of them.
Absolutely. My son, who is now 29, was a volunteer for several years with the Challenger program, and he enjoyed it very much. He made some lifelong friends and still speaks about that. As a matter of fact, I ran into a young man in the Pathmark last weekend, and while he was helping me out with something, he was an employee of the store, and suddenly he stopped and he said, "Do you have a son named Ian?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "I remember him from Challenger." And it just made me feel so good. So there's a lot of that's great that there's going to be some volunteer opportunities for our young people, because it will change them in ways that they don't expect.
And another thing, the recreation program we started last year was a daddy-daughter dance. And this year, because it was so successful, we're also obviously going to have another daddy-daughter dance, but we're also adding the mom and her little prince ball. And that's going to be happening for the first time in September of this year. So everybody who's interested in that. I know you went to the daddy-daughter dance with me just to see what it was like. And it was a really well-attended event. All the little girls were so happy to be there with their fathers, and the DJ really did a great job doing little line dances and games with the girls and the fathers. It was a good time.
It's great. The looks like the mom and her little prince ball will be on. Did they post the date?
Friday, September 25th at 6 p.m. at Pacific Plaza.
Yes. And, of course, summer is almost here. So we summer meets Summerfest in Brick. And we changed it up a bit this year again. We made some changes last year by adding professional food vendors as well as a beer and wine garden for everybody who's over 21. And we changed it up a little bit more this year in that we have our concerts four straight weeks in July. So every Thursday in July, there was a concert, with the exception of the fifth Thursday, because it happens to be five this year, and that's going to be our car show. So if you want to talk a little bit about the acts that we have coming to Summerfest?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I'm very excited. With the Summerfest opens on July 2nd with the Amish Outlaws. Now, I didn't get to see them, but I've watched some YouTube videos, and they look great. I'm really, really excited for that show. July 9th is the Bronx Wanderers, and that's back by popular demand. They're very, very popular. A number of people asked us to bring them back to play again at Summerfest.
Yeah, they're awesome because they play all types of music. They went from the 50s kind of doo-wop thing, and then they were singing Bruno Mars at one point, so it's all over the map of different types of songs that they do.
Very good performers, very good musically, and that's kind of a difficult balance to strike with when you're a performer between just being a good musician and actually being interesting to watch and being good entertainers, and they were both. On July 16th, we have the Infernos, which is another perennial favorite. They always put on a great show. And July 23rd, we have the Time Machine. Now, they're new to us this year, correct?
Yes.
So
they play 80s and 70s, 80s, and 90s and kind of bring you through the time. I don't know if they do that in that order or if they jump all over the decades, but
so we've got something for everybody.
And there's fireworks after each one of those concerts as well. So all four Thursdays of concerts have fireworks directly afterwards.
That's great. And then, as you said, we have the car show on July 30th. And then we go to our drive-in movies. And part of the reason why we changed this up this year is that we found that having the drive-in movies in July wasn't working too well because we'd have to wait until it was dark enough to show the movie. And then it was too late for a lot of the younger children. A lot of the parents would have to leave halfway through because their kids were asleep or they were getting cranky. So we decided to do the movies in the month of August because it was starting to get dark a little earlier by then. And so we can start them at a more reasonable time so that the whole family can enjoy the film. So on August 7th, we'll be showing Jurassic Park. On August 14th, The Sandlot. On August 21st, Back to the Future. And on August 28th, Raiders of the Lost Ark. And again, those will all be at Windward Beach, and you can either drive in or you can park your car and bring a lawn chair and sit on the lawn as well, correct?
Yes. Yep. That's right. And I just want to mention some of our sponsors for Summerfest. There's Pine Belt Chevrolet, WJRZ 100.1. IMAC Insurance, Walmart, and CME Consulting Municipal Engineers. So they're all helping us out with getting the great bands that we're able to get and also obviously with the fireworks because all that costs money and we want to have sponsors rather than having it come out of taxpayer money. Also, we did briefly touch on it, but the first four Thursdays are concerts and fireworks, and then the fifth Thursday in July, which is July 30th, is our annual car show. And last year's turnout was unbelievable. A lot of the participants had said that it was one of the largest car shows that they were that they've ever seen. And that was the participants with the actual cars. And they give away a bunch of different awards, about 20 awards throughout that day and throughout that night. And it's really a good time. So if you're interested in cars, please come out July 30th to the annual car show. And I think we have another question. As usual, after 7:30, we get a question. So try to get there. If we get the questions earlier, it's more of an interaction. But, okay, what's the next question?
Betty DeMarco would like to know if you could explain a little bit about how we go about selecting our roads for paving and repairing. The patching is not quite working, in her opinion, but I thought this would be a good opportunity to talk about our road program for next year and your plans for that.
Okay. What happened is before I was on council, so this is pre-2011, an engineering firm was hired to
to go they drove throughout the entire town, and they rated each and every single road. And the ratings went from 100, which no road had, you know, which was entirely perfect, all the way down to some of them were as low as they were in the 50s, 58 and 59. They're kind of the lowest ones that I've seen. And from that point, they grouped the roads together so that if there was a neighborhood where, let's say all the roads were in the 60s, low 60s, that was what was done back, 2011, 2012. I'm sorry, started earlier to 2011. So we're making our way through that list. To let you know, I just announced it last night, but the new roads for 2015, they're going to be Birchwood Park, number of roads, Parkway Drive, Hollywood Drive, Lakeland Drive, U Drive, Ashwood, Boxwood, Cottonwood, Hollywood, and Redwood. Also a number of roads in Lake Riviera, Texas, from Virginia to Shoreline, Georgia from Essex to Texas, Heritage from Virginia to Texas, Oklahoma Drive, Essex Drive all the way down to Virginia Drive, Essex Drive from Brick Boulevard to Vermont Drive, Pine Tree Drive from Lakeshore Drive to Delaware Drive, and Virginia Drive from Lakeshore Drive to Spruce Drive. And then Riviera Beach, 16th Ave to 22nd Ave, Main Ave, South Lake Drive, Old Burnt Tavern Road, Prospect Drive, Branch Boulevard, Riverside Drive North, and Walnut Drive. So all those are part of our 2015 roads. Those are the ones that are going to be done. We can only pave during the warmer months. The asphalt plants close, and they don't reopen until the end of March. So the earliest paving usually starts is April, and we're doing some over at Deauville Beach over on the ocean at this point. I don't have those specific roads in front of me. And then it goes usually to about, maybe till October. And then after that, you're unable to pave. We also, in this year's capital budget, we're funding the repairs of the milling and paving machine. So our DPW workers can do some of the random roads. And what I mean by that is there might be a road that's rated at 60 and it's in a neighborhood where everything else is an 85. That one road is just going to get worse and worse and worse. And it doesn't make sense to have an outside contractor do that road because it would cost so much money, it would be cost prohibitive. But now we had a milling and paving machine for years that was just sitting not working back behind DPW. The prior administration had tried to get rid of the DPW, the department, at one point, and they downsized, moved people over to Parks Department, and they didn't have enough people to have the our utility or road crew. So that machine has been sitting there since at least 2011, before I was on council. We're putting money in the budget this year to repair that machine so that our guys can do those random roads. And some of them are Firehouse Road, there's Foster Ave, Schoolhouse Road, and there's probably about 9 or 10 other ones that are out there that are just some various roads that are kind of the worst in town that we're going to be able to do because luckily we have the skilled workers to be able to do it, and we have the milling and paving machine being repaired. So that's basically how the paving program works. These roads were rated sometime before 2010. I'm not sure what year. I don't know if Councilwoman Zapsik, would you know that?
No, I don't.
Okay, yeah. So it was before I was on council, and they were rated, and that's what we follow. And our engineer, Alyssa Cummins, keeps the inventory. She has the list, so if you have any interest, you can call the engineering department, and she'll let you know what your road is rated and like kind of where it is in the paving program. But we are doing $1.8 million worth of roads in our 2015 program. So we definitely know it's a need, and got it. We're also not responsible for the county or state roads out there. So a lot of our major roads, Drum Point, Manaloking, Chambers Bridge, Cedar Bridge, Burn Tavern, Burrsville, a lot of the complaints, Lanes Mill, the one that everybody keeps complaining about, they're really county roads, and we're not allowed to touch those at all. They have to only be done by the county. We're not even allowed to repair potholes on there. But if you do still see any potholes around, please let us know. There's hashtag brick pothole. We also just call our DPW department, and it gets added to the list. The guys did 172 potholes today. They're doing about 150 a day, to 200 in that range, and they're trying to get to as many as they can. They're using the hot patch. They just started that 3 weeks ago,
It's a different material. Before that, they had to use the cold patch, and that goes back again to the asphalt plants being open and the different types of materials that are available at different times. So hopefully I got everything covered there with the paving question, and thank you very much for taking part in the program. And I guess, Andrea, we had a couple other things just from our Summerfest program that we didn't talk about. August 4th, we have that National Night Out Against Crime and Kids Day celebration. And then October 3rd is Bricktoberfest, where I don't know if I'd consider that part of Summerfest, but we kind of put it on the same advertisement.
Well, it's nice to kind of keep the summer going as long as possible. And we're very fortunate here in New Jersey. I've always felt that September and early October are the best weather months of the year. So it's nice to be able to keep our outdoor activities going for a little bit longer. The National Night Out Against Crime is sponsored nationally by community policing. The idea is to get people out of their homes and to interact in a positive way with their local police force. Here in Brick Township, we combine that with the Kids Day celebration. So we bring out that not only the police, but the fire, a lot of our youth serving organizations. And usually there's some fun things for the kids to do and see. And usually our police camp graduation is held that night as well.
Okay, great. Thank you for joining me as a guest here tonight. Anything else you want to cover, or kind of just want to say goodnight to everybody?
I just would like to put in a plug for BMAC. We're moving forward with that. We've applied for funding through the state. We should be hearing very shortly on that. We'll be having our annual golf tournament on Saturday, September 12th. And I know that Madeline, the Recreation Department, 262-1076, is taking reservations for golfers and sponsors who are interested in helping out. We are looking forward to working with the Recreation Department and reviving the BMAC dances that were very popular several years ago, and moving forward with the program and doing some good things to keep our youth healthy and positive.
All right. Thank you very much for being the guest. Also, I just want to let everybody know out there, we have two new merchants in our Buy and Brick program. It's Maria's Hair and Nail Design at 2060 Route 88. Telephone is 732-295-4247. They're offering a 5% discount. And also MeWe's Treats at 2060 Route 88. 732-701-3795. They're offering a 7.5% discount. And hopefully everybody knows what the Buy and Brick program is. I really don't have time to describe it now. But I want to thank everybody. Thank the two questions that came in. I want to thank Councilwoman Andrea Zapsik. Of course, thank Joanne Bergen for working the board, as well as Ed Maroney for doing all the technical components of tonight. And thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much.